We are going to the Banner Brothers Hotline, bring in Pac-12 blogger for ESPN.com, Kevin Gemmel. Kevin, are you there?
How you doing, guys?
Hey, doing great. Appreciate you taking time this offseason to join us on the program. I'd like to know, being that it's the offseason in the summertime, what has your attention when it comes to the Pac-12 as we're in these summer months?
Well, right now, it's always going to be quarterbacks. That's the big storyline in the Pac-12, whether you're talking about UCLA, whether you're talking about Oregon State, whether you're talking about Oregon. People want to know who is going to be their starter on day one, and the Pac-12 is sort of moving away from this golden age, so to speak, of quarterbacks when they had, Brett Hundley and Marcus Mariota winning the Heisman. Last year, there were 10 of 12 starters back at quarterback. All of them were putting up some huge numbers. There's a couple new quarterbacks in the league this year. So I think that's really kind of the big storyline, is just sort of eyeballing how spring ball went with some of these quarterback competitions.
Well, speaking of quarterbacks, just talking in general before, I know we're coming on to talk mostly UCLA, but just speaking of quarterbacks in the Pac-12, do you think Cody Kessler is one of the more underrated Pac-12 quarterbacks that you've had over the last few years?
Cody's a real interesting case. He is a very athletic quarterback. He doesn't run the way a lot of these spread option quarterbacks do these days, which is one of the things that I think might hurt his chances for the Heisman. You look at his numbers, they were absolutely sensational last year. However, he did struggle against some top 25 teams. So there is a sense that maybe some of those numbers were inflated when you go down the line and you look at what he did. I think 39 touchdowns to 5 interceptions last year. But a lot of those came against some of the weaker teams in the conference. So I think his touchdown-to-interception ratio was 4-3 against ranked teams. So I think he's not necessarily underrated, but I think people are waiting to see, can he do it in those big games against, say, a Stanford or a UCLA. I know he had a big game against Notre Dame last year. Notre Dame was a bit down. But he's a very talented pocket quarterback, and I think another year in Steve Sarkisian's system is going to do wonders for him, because I think he fits it very, very well.
It seems like the USC hype machine is in full swing already this summer. Do you think this is a team that can compete for a national championship?
They got to get over UCLA first. I'm starting to think a little bit about how I'm going to fill out my media day preseason poll. And I kind of like UCLA right now, to be honest with you. I think it's a very complete football team with one exception. I know we'll get into UCLA in a couple minutes, but except for that quarterback spot, boy, that's a really good football team top to bottom. I think USC certainly has a chance. They have the horses. They just need to figure out a way to get over UCLA, because it's been 3 in a row. They're back up to full strength now in terms of scholarships. The sanctions have come and gone. They've restored some depth, so I think that's going to be a real, real fun matchup. Even the whole Pac-12 South, you can make the argument that the Pac-12 South is the toughest division in college football right now. When you look at the way Arizona played last year, they've got a new Solomon coming back, their quarterback. Arizona State's going to have a very smooth transition from Taylor Kelly to Mike Bercovici. Utah is on the rise, always one of the best defensive teams in the conference, good at stopping the run, really gritty players. And then, of course, you've got the L.A. schools who are going to duke it out. So when you look top to bottom, I wouldn't be shocked if there's 5 Pac-12 South teams who are ranked in the top 25, by week 3 or 4.
This is a BYU show, but I'm going to make the Cardinal sin about asking a question about our bitter rivals there up north. But talk to us. Tell us what you think about Utah. They kind of burst on the scene a little bit in the Pac-12 last year. They crept up. They got into the mid-teens in the top 25 rankings and kind of put themselves on the map. Do you think that they are going to be a flash in the pan and we're not going to see that again this next couple years? Do you think that they're kind of working their way up there to stay?
I think they're working their way up to stay, and I know this is going to anger, I'm sure, a lot of your listeners.
Just be honest.
I did cover you guys in the Mountain West when I used to cover San Diego State, so I've made plenty of trips out there. No, I think that this is a team that is finally starting to learn how to become a Pac-12 team. They finally got their facilities up to par with the rest of the conference. They're starting to get an equal share of money. Remember, the first couple of years, they were only getting half share of the Pac-12 network money. Now they're back up to a full share, and it takes time. It takes time to build that depth. It takes time to learn how to appropriate your funding, how much you dedicate to recruiting, how much you dedicate to facilities upgrades, that sort of thing. It's certainly not an overnight process, But I remember talking with one of the coaches there after they beat Colorado State. And like I said, I used to cover the Mountain West. They beat Colorado State in the Las Vegas Bowl, I believe. You could just see top to bottom. I remember watching Utah in 2010 to where they are now, and it looks like a completely different team than a Mountain West team. It is just interesting to see them go against a former Mountain West team because top to bottom, depth, speed, size, they were just so much better, and you can really see how they have progressed into becoming a Pac-12 program. So I think they're here to stay for a while.
We're talking to Kevin Gamel from the Pac-12 blog at ESPN.com on ESPN 960. Kevin, let's dive into UCLA now. No Brett Hundley. That's obviously the big hole that people are going to be concerned about. But what else does UCLA have that puts them as maybe one of the favorites in this conference this year?
They don't have a lot of weak spots. When you look at them across the board, quarterback is really the only major question mark with them. And, of course, losing Brett Hundley is huge. He was a phenomenal college player. I think over the last three seasons, only Johnny Manziel had more scramble yards than Brett Hundley did. So he was a guy who could make plays with his feet. He kept plays alive. He was so dangerous. And just when you think he'd tuck and run, he'd do a quick little shovel pass that would go for 40 or 50 yards. Just a very creative and innovative player. When you're looking at top to bottom, though, you take away that quarterback spot. They have all the pieces in place. They've got the league's leading rusher and Paul Perkins coming back. I think he had close to 1,600 yards last year, 9 touchdowns, caught a couple more out of the backfield. They have an offensive line that is not only veteran but healthy. That's really been sort of the hill for them to overcome the last couple of years is they've had issues on the offensive line, getting kids to stay healthy, getting depth. They finally have that there. Jake Brendel is a phenomenal center. He leads that group. Good wide receivers. Maybe the best defensive front seven in the Pac-12. Really veteran secondary. I mean, you go down the line, 21 of their 22 are really, really good in terms of starters. Just a matter of who's going to run that offense and whether that's going to be Joe Neuheisel or Josh Rosen remains to be seen. But the vibe I got coming out of spring when I went up there and spent some time with the coaching staff, they're pretty high on Josh Rosen. I think they believe that a true freshman can come in and do enough to get that offense going, and then they can rely on their defense, which is going to be very, very stout this year.
Kevin, you're going to need to do some convincing with me because I hear what you're saying. I hear what you're saying about the talent and the guys that are around there. I look at UCLA and at the skill positions that UCLA set. But here's what I see, and I need you to convince me otherwise, because I see you with a new quarterback, and I'm going to put this lightly, maybe the worst offensive line I've seen in last year in the Pac-12 in a long time. And yep. I think I'm being nice there. So how are they going to be able to protect a young quarterback and make this the best team in the South?
Because they're healthy now across the offensive line. That was a huge, huge issue last year. They were starting three freshmen. Guys were injured and nicked. You're absolutely right. The offensive line play was terrible the first 4 or 5 weeks. I think when they got later into the season, guys started coming back healthy. But it was patchwork for the first half of the year. And your cynicism is taken, the way it should be because they were not a good offensive line the first half. But I think this year they finally have, they're healthy. They're going to get the 5 guys they want starting. Now that's assuming they stay healthy. But even if they don't, they finally have some depth there. They have guys who've got some playing experience who can jump in for starters. And even with all of those offensive line issues that you just talked about, they still had the league's leading rusher last year in Paul Perkins. So they're able to overcome that. But I don't think offensive line is going to be an issue for them this year.
Kevin, it seems like Jim Moore's made a pretty interesting and successful transition from, NFL coach to a college coach. What's he like to work with, and is he a guy that's long-term there at UCLA?
I'd like to think so. He's been approached by several other places, whether it's colleges or the NFL, and he's turned it down. Last year there was a real big push from Texas. There was a real big push from Washington for him to come back. And I think he went to the UCLA administration and said, it's time for you guys to start ponying up. If you want us to be a football school, then show me. And they gave him more money to give to his coordinators. They've got new facilities that are being built as we speak. If they're not going to be completed, I believe, by 2016, he can opt out of this contract. But I believe that he likes the college atmosphere right now. I think he likes where he's at. In terms of working with, he's a pro. You know, he's been doing this for, you know, 3+ decades. He knows how it works. He knows what reporters are looking for. He can be a little gruff from time to time, but he's a passionate guy. He's a lot of fun to work with.
And Jim Moore has done one of the best jobs that I've seen in a long time with a college football coach. Tell us why. What's made the difference? You say he's gone through quite a few coaches, just kind of cycled through him over the last 10 or so years. What's made him different?
Well, I think it helps when you come in and Brett Hundley was redshirted, and you can start with him to build your offense around. It's funny because his offensive coordinator, Noel Mazzoni, used to be at Arizona State under Dennis Erickson. And then Dennis Erickson got fired. Todd Graham came in, brought his own staff with him. Jim Moore had just gotten hired. And I know Arizona State was recruiting Brett Hundley very heavily. So now it turns out Noel Mazzoni comes to UCLA, and he has the opportunity to work with Brett Hundley all over again in his offense. So I think when you have a quarterback in place, that's a huge, huge advantage over a lot of other coaches, because those first 3 years, that's when it's critical. If you don't win in your first 3 years, you're fired. You have a good quarterback for those first 3 years, you can do a lot of really special things, and you can build a team around that. You can start winning bowl games. You can start attracting other recruits to come in. And I think everything just sort of came together perfectly for him in those first couple of years. Now, it hasn't been perfect by any means. He still hasn't beat Stanford. He still hasn't beat Oregon. His record against top 5, top 10 teams is not great. That being said, I think this is the team that can get over the hump.
Kevin, appreciate your time today, and enjoy your summer, would you?
Absolutely. It was good catching up with you guys.
All right. See ya. Kevin Gamel from Pac-12 blog at ESPN.com. Some good stuff on